This is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tanton.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that will attempt to be unsinkable in 2007. In this episode, Cheryl Murray takes Rusty on a tour through Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition, which is currently on display at the Atlanta Civic Center. Cheryl is a former school teacher and is currently the director of education for the exhibit.
About to do is tell the story of Titanic's maiden voyage. We're going to start out in Ireland. We're going to board the ship. We're going to see some room recreations. We're going to hear the boiler room, feel an iceberg, and have the full experience from beginning to end.
Well, excellent. I can hardly wait.
Great. Now, when you first came into the Artifact Exhibition, you received a boarding pass.
I did.
And that's a replica ticket from White Star Line.
It is.
And on the back of it, it gives you the name of the passenger that you will become for the rest of our journey.
Excellent. Okay.
So you are.
Tell me where on the ship I am. I know that there were different levels of the
exactly.
ship.
Exactly. So take a look there. Tell us who you are.
Passenger name, Mr. Leonard Mark Hickman.
Right. And you're
age
24.
I am accompanied by my brother, Lewis Hickman, and Stanley G. Hickman, who's also my brother. I am a second-class passenger.
See?
Now, where on the boat would that put me?
Well, the Titanic was 882 and a half feet long, so it was the largest ocean liner of its time, and there were five different decks, starting with first class, moving down to second, and then to third. So you would be in middle of the ship.
Oh, excellent. All right. Well,
let's come around the corner here, because what's happening here is you can hear some music in the background, and we are approaching one of the most amazing artifacts in the exhibition. We are looking at the ship's bell.
Excellent.
This was the actual bell that Frederick Fleet struck three times on the morning of April 15th to signal danger.
Now, are people able to actually make this ring? I'm assuming not.
No, but you can hear delicate. In the background, we do have the ship's bell in the background.
Excellent. So, being a second-class passenger, how easily would I have been able to hear this?
You would have been able to hear this. Not only that, but the ship also had funnels with ship's whistles inside of them that were melodic, and would have been able to hear those every day at noon.
Neat.
So you see that what we're doing now is we're going to enter this long hallway leading us to the shipyards of Harland and Wolff, and along the way you're going to see passengers' photos. Just to kind of get you in the mood, take you back to 1912, you see Ruth Becker, Father Biles, Molly Brown. So just gives you an idea of that these were real people on board Titanic, and this exhibition tells their stories.
Now, if you see the film, they sort of look like just bugs from the top of a skyscraper or something. You just see people falling. I didn't feel like I got quite the humanity of it when I saw the film.
Right, and that's one of the most beautiful things about this exhibition is the story that's told through the artifacts themselves and through the passengers.
Excellent.
So we're going to enter the shipyards of Harland and Wolff. We're going to hear some Irish music and be on hardwood floors and see some beautiful photographs of the design of the ship. And now we have entered into the exhibition. There's lots to read and look at, and the actual artifacts are in front of you.
Now, here on the wall, we have a quote that says, "White Star Line has always been in the first rank, and the building of Olympic and Titanic makes it evident that the policy of enterprise and foresight is being worthily maintained."
Yes, and that was from the Shipbuilder magazine in 1911. So Harland and Wolff was really making a name for itself with Titanic. And that's the why they came up with that name, because it was going to be something gigantic and big.
Unsinkable.
Absolutely. And that is one of the reasons why so many people didn't go into the lifeboats initially, because they knew it was unsinkable, and they weren't that worried about it. So we lost people that way because of that. But that was really from the press at the time that came up with that term being unsinkable.
So the builders of the ship didn't say that.
No, they didn't. It became part of the lore of the press.
Yeah.
Because Titanic was conceived in 1907 and didn't set sail till 1912. So there were 5 years of build-up to this magnificent ocean liner. So even when it left Belfast to go and be fitted, 100,000 people came out to watch it. So it was very much a happening at that time. So the press was involved in it from beginning to end.
Excellent.
So we're going to come in here, and you can see and feel. Look at these propellers over here to our left. We have a beautiful photograph of the ship's propellers and men standing beneath it so that you can get a sense of the magnitude and of Titanic.
That photo obviously isn't up to scale because those men are about 2 feet tall. So that would make those propellers about three times the size?
Yes.
As you would see in the
absolutely,
photo there?
Absolutely.
Wow. Those
so
are large.
You can imagine. And we also have some other beautiful photos along the wall here that gives you a sense of just the magnificence of Titanic. We have one of my very favorite artifacts over here, which is one of the first-class window panes that was rescued from the debris field of Titanic.
So as a second-class passenger, I wouldn't get one of these fancy windows.
You would not
windows.
Have one of these beautiful windows.
Would I get
yours.
A window at all?
You would have a porthole, probably, depending on where your cabin was located.
But this one opens.
Oh, isn't that spectacular?
It is. Wow.
And it gives you a sense, again, of grandeur.
Yeah, look at that.
Over here, I love what we're going to see next here, which was a leather valise that someone brought on board Titanic. And we were able to retrieve this off of the ocean floor. Look at that. Isn't that something?
It's in really good shape.
It's in very good shape because of the tanning process of the leather back in the early 1900s. It did not allow the microbes to eat through.
Wow. The only thing missing is the handle.
The handle deteriorated. So whenever we found anything in leather at the bottom of the ocean, we would open it up and be a treasure trove.
Wow.
We found machinist tools. We found money, sheet music. That's where a lot of our paper items come from, is even though they've been on the ocean floor for 80 plus years before we found them, they were protected inside of a leather wallet or a leather case such as this one.
How many artifacts would you say have been recovered from the Titanic so far?
We have 5,500 artifacts in our collection right now.
There's another dive scheduled next year, isn't
there? Yes, we're hoping to go down to the wreck site again. We've been down seven times since 1987, and there's so many remarkable things down there that we know we want to bring back up to the surface.
Can't get them all at once.
You can't.
Okay.
Now we're going to board the ship. So welcome aboard. We're going to go up the gangplank and enter into the first class cabin. Here's where we have some beautiful artifacts. We have china and silver. We have jewelry here. And we have the recreation of the first class cabin. This is very dramatic and draws a lot of people immediately to that portion of this gallery.
And so that's a recreation. Are there any original artifacts in that room, in the recreation?
The recreation here, what we've done is we actually worked with the furniture manufacturer from 1912 that created the original furniture for Titanic. So everything there is genuine as it would have looked, but it's been recreated for this.
Okay.
We do have some vintage clothing in there that is part of our Whitman collection that was actually from Titanic.
Excellent.
This is interesting because this is where we see a lot of currency. Again, people are so blown away by the fact that this money is in such great shape. But again, this would have been inside of leather wallets or pouches on the bottom of the ocean. So there's money from around the world. Every bank in America at that time printed their own money. So each of the different bills come from different banks around the country.
Wow. You can still read most of it.
Isn't it incredible?
Yeah. Excellent.
We have some beautiful jewelry here as well for people to come and look at. We're going to walk past some of the serving pieces of the china so that you can see this beautiful second-class china, which is what you would have been eating off of, is a pattern called Blue Delft, which is still made today. And then the third-class china, which is definitely very serviceable and functional, as the White Star Line logo on that, that would have been used for all of the third-class food service.
Excellent.
And there's a beautiful piece of jewelry over here that I would love to wear. This beautiful choker. Look at the diamond and platinum choker piece.
Oh,
isn't that spectacular?
It is spectacular. Is that elastic? What is that?
No, that's silk.
Okay.
A silk ribbon in the...
It kind of looks like elastic.
Yeah. Because it's just the way there's been some damage to that. Yeah, but you can see there's just been some damage to the to the ribbon around there. But a first-class lady would have tied that around her neck, perhaps worn that down to dinner one night on board the ship. You get a sense here of these are real people and real things happen, and they had real adventures on Titanic, and it was exciting and beautiful. And the first, it was the biggest, the longest, the first, and just to feel that inside of this room, you start to get excited about what Titanic would have been like
in
1912.
I'm excited. All right.
As we turn the corner here, we're going to see the third class accommodations, which are stark in comparison to what we just saw for first class. So you can see this is more of a bunk bed setting
here. Looks more like a children's room or something.
It does, because you're looking at the sizes of the beds. But this would have been comparable to second class accommodations on another ocean liner. But this was the third class, and many times third class mattresses were made of hay and straw. These were real mattresses
on
board Titanic. So even the third class passengers felt like they were in the lap of luxury.
Hmm.
As we come around the corner here, you again see some more photos making, again, that connection to the human element on board the ship. We're going to come around the corner here, and this is very, very exciting because we're going into the cargo hold of Titanic.
Excellent.
So as you come into the cargo hold, which was so fascinating on Titanic, were the interesting things that were inside that ship being transferred back to U.S. We had dragon's blood, which was used at that time to stain wood and used in women's cosmetics. There was a car, as you remember from the movie. There was a Renault automobile. There were tennis balls and grandfather clocks, and very interesting. And up against the wall, you can actually see some of the manifests and some of the cargo items that were on board Titanic. And Titanic's full name is RMS Titanic, which is Royal Mail Steamer. And Titanic was shipping mail. It stopped in Cherbourg and it stopped in Southampton to not only pick up and drop off passengers, but to pick up and drop off mail. So you see some of the mail bags here in the cargo hold. And at that time, we're not really sure of how much mail was lost, but newspaper accounts at that time estimated between 8 and 9 million pieces of mail were lost in the sinking of Titanic.
That's a lot of mail.
It had a full functioning post office. You can see things are getting a little darker, and you can start to hear behind us the stokers on board Titanic. Titanic was fueled by coal.
Uh-huh.
So we're coming into the boiler room, and you can see in front of us what those men had to do each and every day to keep coal burning on Titanic to move Titanic forward. We have a large piece of coal here that was taken off of the ocean floor right in front of us right now.
That's larger than a basketball.
Yes.
Almost two basketballs in size. Now, were all the heaps of coal that large?
No, they wouldn't have been all of them that large because they had to go inside the boilers as we're looking in front of us.
So if they had a lump of coal that was that large, would they have to break it apart?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Okay.
And at that time in 1912, there was a coal strike going on. So some ships did not sail. And passengers that had tickets on those ships were then transferred to Titanic. So we actually have some tickets where the name of the ship is crossed out and handwritten on there is Titanic.
Wow, neat.
Yeah. Now we're on the captain's bridge. So this is where the captain and the lookouts and his crew would stand and look out through those windows and be able to guide the ship. And then go behind us, this is where the captain would be sleeping.
Is this where, when the iceberg became visible, they would be able to see it?
A little too late.
Apparently.
A little too late. So we have some interesting compass. We have some large pieces from the ship that are on display inside the captain's bridge. You could hear the hardwood floors that we're walking across right now. Because that night, this is what happened, because we're entering the iceberg gallery now. It's dark and it's cold, and we see the iceberg in front of us. We have some magnificent video and some fantastic information to read inside of this gallery that could help you understand what happened that night. So I want you to come over and touch the iceberg with me.
Why don't we do that?
Because it was very, very, very cold in the water that night. So the people that did choose to go into lifeboats or fall from the ship or end up in the water, they didn't drown, they froze to death.
That's not good.
No.
And these handprints, are these from people who are just coming through here who have
and
pressed
touching
their hands
it.
In?
See, like I'm trying to hold my hand up there long enough to make a handprint, but I can't, it's too cold.
A lot of resilience on those people.
So again, you could really learn and hear the story of Titanic by spending some time inside the iceberg gallery. To turn the corner this way, we're going to walk past an amazing artifact, which is a top hat and tie that we rescued and brought up from the ocean floor and preserved that. And you can actually think of that, a gentleman from first class.
It's interesting. That does look like sort of a small head, like it was a below 7-inch head, which is pretty small for now.
You know, they say that people were smaller at that time, and that's why some of the beds look smaller as well. But I just think that that's so dramatic.
It is. Wow.
And as we move from the iceberg gallery, you get a sense of the artifact recovery process from the bottom of the ocean. You actually see hanging above your head the Nautile, which is the submersible, where we would take that down to the bottom of the ocean. So you can see the three portholes. That would be pilot, co-pilot, and observer. It takes 2.5 hours to get down to the bottom of the ocean. So you're just dropping down in pitch black darkness. Then you hit the ocean floor and those floodlights come on, and you see Titanic.
There it is.
And then hanging next to it is what we call the lift basket. When we do find an artifact that we want to retrieve from the debris field, it goes into the lift basket and is brought up to the surface of the ocean. There's some amazing photography inside this gallery that shows the stock pot being retrieved. These au gratin dishes were found on the ocean floor, just as you see on that photograph, where the wooden crate that they were housed in obviously deteriorated. And there were these dishes just lined up in a row, and we've recreated that image for you here. This is absolutely spectacular, what we're looking at here, which is an actual piece of the hull of Titanic.
Wow.
And you can see it being retrieved here. You can see the diver in front of that piece.
So it does look like it's been cleaned off.
Well, there's been a preservation process so that we can stop any further deterioration. These items were on the bottom of the ocean for 80 years or longer. So when they hit oxygen and they hit light, the conservation process begins immediately. In fact, that's what you're going to see straight ahead, which is the laboratory. But I want you to stop here and touch this piece of history. You can reach in and touch the hull of Titanic.
If I can get my fingers in. There it is. Wow. It was like thick iron.
It was steel, heavy steel.
Heavy steel.
And now we're entering just a recreation of the lab that we have here in Atlanta at an undisclosed location where we keep up with all the artifacts in our collection. So you can see what they look like when they're stored on the shelving here. There's lots of information up on the walls to learn about the actual conservation process. These are the tubs that the artifacts have to go in immediately, surrounded by foam, so that the desalination process can begin as soon as they hit air and light. And so this is what it actually looks like.
Now, is that foam any sort of special absorbent material?
It is. It's specially treated so that the artifact itself will not be damaged in any further way. And you can see how it's laid out here on this table and the packing and how we keep track of all of the artifacts. We have conservators and registrars and an entire team of curators that manage the collection for RMS Titanic, Inc. And that's what they do full time. You can see some interesting photography here to learn more about the actual conservation, the recovery and conservation of the artifacts. So you can see that there's a lot to learn and look at here, making it fascinating, not only for families and Titanic enthusiasts, but it's an amazing field trip for students. We have teachers' guides that have been developed that cover everything from all the curriculum areas that have been correlated for Georgia performance standards so that Georgia teachers can come in here and share this experience with their students. This is, do you remember the valise that we saw in the front? Look at the recovery. There it is.
There it is.
We have some amazing artifacts that are shown here. We see some water moving underneath us through some lighting effects, but there's some eyeglasses here that they're in such good shape. It looks like you can wear them right now.
Clothespins.
I love this. This is a shoe. Again, that the leather was retained in very good shape. But this, we have to stop here. Because this beautiful, beautiful piece is a glass pitcher, which I think is gorgeous. Just has that chipping up at the very top. We went down to a dive. We found this pitcher. 7 years later, We went down to the wreck site and found the stopper.
Wow.
That fits into that picture. So these were recovered
really,
7 years apart.
It's in excellent shape. It's sort of a blue, almost a sky blue glass with painting on the side that's, or some sort of etching on the side that's still there.
It's beautiful. And we believe that this was personal property for one of the Titanic passengers. And straight ahead, you can see what Titanic looks like today. When those lights pop on off of the submersible, that's the first thing you would see. There's the bow of the ship.
Wow.
As we move into this next gallery, we have some very, very interesting artifacts, personal effects of passengers, and then their stories are being told as well. So a lot of people like to spend time in this gallery learning more about the people on board. Now, remember you had your boarding pass, right?
I do.
And your name?
Let me see here. I am Leonard Mark Hickman.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go up to this wall, which is the ship's manifest, and it lists all of the passengers by class and whether they survived or whether they perished.
Listed alphabetically?
Yes. So let's go.
So we can go see if I made it or not.
Let's go see.
Leonard Mark Hickman.
Look at you. You didn't make it.
I didn't make it.
You were lost, but let's check on your brothers.
Did my brother, Lewis Hickman, didn't make it? Neither of my brothers made it either.
We lost all the Hickmans. But interesting, isn't it? Look at the first class survivors, second class survivors.
That list gets
third class, it changes.
Disproportionate the lower you go.
Right.
Second class, it looks like about the same.
Even split there.
And third class looks like about a 2-to-1 ratio, lost to saved.
And then crew as well.
And crew is about, I'd guess, a 4-to-1 ratio.
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
And the numbers are actually up here on the wall.
Right. So you could see, even as we're here, we have visitors around us that are eagerly looking for their names to find out their fate. So again, it just makes this a truly personal experience
for
everyone.
That is clever.
You could see over here, too, that there were outcomes from this disaster. There were Senate hearings, just like we have today. There were lawsuits and insurance claims. Over here, you have Boy Scouts raising money in England for the Titanic Disaster Fund. So it makes people, as they go through this, think about things that have happened today, where we've had these actual same things happen, where we all gave money after 9/11 and we raised money for Katrina, and there were Senate hearings. So you could see that this story is told and retold through history.
Wow.
Over here, I want you to walk past this because this is fascinating. Over here, we have a leather pouch that has perfume vials in it. These belong to a passenger named Adolf Saalfeld, and he was a perfume salesman. He was traveling from Manchester, England to New York to bring his perfumes to go up and down Fifth Avenue to all the fancy boutiques and stores with the idea of selling his perfumes. There were 65 vials in his case, and we've recovered 62 of them. And if you go over here to the side and lean in and smell through these holes in the side of the case, the perfume still emits an odor.
You can smell that a little bit.
Yeah, it's amazing. And Adolf Saalfeld did survive, and he went on to become a very successful businessman in America. This final portion of the exhibition tells the story of Atlanta and Georgia during that time period. So this is information for you to read about what happened to Atlanta, how Atlanta reacted to the tragedy, what was going on in Atlanta and in Georgia in 1912. And we tell stories of the passengers on board Titanic that had connections to Atlanta and Georgia.
So maybe we can look at a couple here.
Sure. This is very interesting one straight ahead of us, which is the Futrelles. Jacques Futrelle at that time was a very well-known author, and he had written a series of detective novels that were extremely popular in 1912. He also worked for the Atlanta Journal and started their sports department there, and he married an Atlanta native, and she was a writer in her own right. And they had just been to Europe celebrating Jacques' 37th birthday, traveled back on the Titanic, and Jacques did not survive, but Lily Mae did. And in fact, she published his last book posthumously. So the Futrelles were sort of a celebrity. If there was an Atlanta celebrity on board, it would be the Futrelles. And Colonel Archibald Butt was on board. He was a renowned military man. Served under presidents at that time from Augusta, Georgia. So there's lots and lots of history in Augusta about Archibald Butt, and they say that during the sinking, he was the true Southern gentleman, that he was saved so many people, helping them into the lifeboats and retaining. He stayed behind, and he lost his life in the sinking. So the story of Colonel Archibald Butt is very well known. So we have an opportunity here for people to leave us their thoughts. At the end of the exhibition, you can actually see the children running over to write down what they thought. And this is where people give us their personal reactions to Titanic, the artifact exhibition. And we go through and read them and learn from them. And it tells us what they got out of this experience.
What do you end up doing with those?
We keep them. We actually hold on to them and read through them and call them together into categories so that we have a sense of what impacted people and what didn't, and it helps us as we further tour the exhibition around the world.
RMS Titanic is the corporation that owns exclusive rights to artifacts from the Titanic. It's based in Atlanta and has put on similar exhibitions all over the country during the past 12 years. Yet, this is the first time the exhibit has stopped in Atlanta. Some of you might be wondering what took so long. I know I was. Here's what Cheryl said when I asked her about that.
Well, we were looking for, first of all, the ideal spot to showcase Titanic. And we were here at the Civic Center with our other exhibition, which was called Bodies, the Exhibition. And it was such a tremendous response from the community that it didn't take us long to realize this is the perfect home for Titanic. So yes, we've toured it around the world for 12 years, but we're right here, right now, for a limited amount of time. So we definitely want everyone to come out and see it.
Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition, will be on display at the Atlanta Civic Center through the end of May. For more information, visit rmstitanic.net. Thanks to Cheryl for being such a gracious host and to Russ and Jonathan for arranging the tour.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.